tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radio.com.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday, the 28th of January, 2026, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, today I would like to take a look at the protest that is happening in Crowborough, and this has happened over the last couple of weekends, and they are protesting at the fact that the Home Office is putting illegal immigrants in their town, in one of these disused army bases. And of course, where are they going to go after they've been in the disused army base? They're going to put them in houses. The British people don't want to see illegal immigrants anywhere in Britain. They want to see them deported, let alone put in hotels or army bases or houses. It really doesn't matter where they go. People don't want them here in the first place. Now, there is a protest going on Saturday, this weekend, at Warwick, and that is a protest about deporting all immigrants. That's what Patriotic Alternative want to see. They're the ones that have called for this protest. There are representatives of various groups that are going. It's not just a PA protest. People that will be speaking there, you've got Steve Laws speaking there, you've got Mark Collette speaking there, Laura Towler, probably others as well. So if you are not happy about the state of Britain and the illegal immigration that is happening, then you should get yourself along to Warwick for a protest at the weekend. But as I say, the article that I want to look at today is about protests in Crowborough. And I'm taking this report from Breitbart, and it's headlined, "Thousands Protest Planned Migrant Camp in Small English Town." And it did look like thousands there as well. The mainstream media were just saying it was hundreds of people. I was watching this over the weekend on GB News, and it did look like quite a few thousand people were actually there for this, which is a good turnout for a small town. Thousands of English locals turned out onto the streets in East Sussex on Sunday to protest against plans to house hundreds of alleged asylum seekers at a former military training camp in Crowborough. And of course, this is just a halfway house for them. They'll only be at the training camp for a short while, and then they will put them into houses. And the fact that they're going into houses either means that they're houses that young British people are going to be unable to rent because they won't be able to rent the house because it's full of migrants, or they'll actually be giving them brand new council houses. And that's the really shocking part of this, the absolutely scandalous part of this, is that the government want to build brand new houses, put the asylum seekers in them, on the off chance that the asylum seekers might eventually go back. If that happens, then the house will belong to the council, and it will be a way for the council to say, well, we've got more council houses. And that's why over 200 local councils have expressed an interest in doing this. It doesn't mean that there'll be more council houses for the Indigenous Britons. It means that there'll be less houses for the Indigenous Britons. It just means that once the asylum seekers go back, if they ever do go back, then that house will become available. But of course, by that time, you know, it could be 30 years into the future. We could already be a minority by that point in the country. And yet the government just don't seem to understand that people don't want the asylum seekers here at all. It's not that we just don't want them in hotels. We don't want them here at all. This week, the Home Office, a government department tasked with controlling Britain's borders and immigration system, began transferring migrants to the East Sussex camp, with 27 alleged asylum seekers being brought to the camp on Thursday, the local Argus newspaper reported. And it just seems that the government are just ignoring all the local people here that are saying, we don't want this. We don't want the risk that this poses to our children. That's the most seen sign I think there is at these protests is, what about our children? Protect our children. And the left claim that that's a stereotype and that this doesn't happen. And yet pretty much every day you read about sexual assaults that asylum seekers have carried out. It was only last week that we brought up these statistics that on British Rail, on the trains, 80% of all theft that takes place is carried out by an illegal immigrant. 80%. And yet they say that illegal immigrants only make up 10% of the people that go on the trains. And yet they make up 80% of the thefts. Sexual assault and rape. Afghans and Eritreans, over 20 times more likely to carry out sexual assault or rape than the indigenous British people. These are genuine concerns that the British people have, and why they don't want to have these asylum seekers living anywhere near them. Yet our opponents think that it's just that we hate the colour of the skin, or that we just make it up that there's more likely to be sexual assaults. The site, which is earmarked to hold up to 500 migrants at any one time, was commandeered by the government as it seeks to lessen its dependency on UK hotels to house migrants while their asylum claims are processed. According to the government, the migrants will only be stationed at the camp for 3 months at most. And that's not saying that the camp is only going to be used for 3 months. It means that the migrants that they put in there will only be there as a holding centre before they get transferred somewhere else. It means that there will be a rapidly changing group of people that are actually at this migrant centre, which is even worse. It means that there'll be a new 500 new migrants arriving every 3 months. I mean, the chances of there being a sexual assaultist or a rapist in amongst that is extremely high, isn't it? If you're going to have 500 new men arrive every 3 months. I mean, it's the last thing that Crowborough needs. And also, where are they going to go after that 3 months? Well, obviously, they're going to go into housing, aren't they? Which means that the locals that live there are going to find it extremely difficult to get somewhere to live, because everywhere is going to be taken up by illegal immigrants with the government paying the bill. I mean, these private landlords, they're going to be happier to get money from the government, aren't they, rather than get money from private tenants, because they know they're guaranteed to get the money from the government and they can also charge the top rate. And the move has nonetheless sparked local concern in Crowborough, with opponents pointing to previous examples of crimes committed by the hands of hotel migrants, including the sexual assault of a 14-year-old girl by an Ethiopian hotel migrant just days after breaking into the country illegally via the English Channel from France. Shockingly, there are still people in prison now, white people in prison, for complaining about this sexual assault of a 14-year-old girl. The Ethiopian who did it, he was found guilty. He was given a prison sentence. The prison promptly lost the Ethiopian for 2 days. Then they put him back in the prison. Then they paid him £500 to go back to Ethiopia. So he was in prison for just a matter of days, and he was given a £500 prize money and then given a free ticket back to Ethiopia. And the people that complained about this 14-year-old girl being sexually assaulted, they're still in prison now. So what message does that send to illegal immigrants? It tells them that the worst that will happen to them is that they'll be given some money and they'll be sent back home. And if any of the indigenous Brits dare to complain about them raping or sexually assaulting, it will be the indigenous Brits that are given the prison sentence. And we do have another article, which if we have time for today, we'll look at that. It's another rapist that's a hotel migrant. As I say, it does seem to be every day that you read about these sexual assaults that are linked to illegal immigrants. And that's when you're not reading about grooming gangs, which are, of course, predominantly Muslim. Thousands were seen waving the British Union Jack and the English flag of St George as they marched through Crowborough to demonstrate against the migrant camp. And I guess that's the only positive thing to really come of this, is this resurgence of patriotism, people identifying with their ancestry, with their heritage, wanting to wave the flag. And this is all a result of this multiculturalism and this mass immigration that we're being forced to endure. So it does have a positive side effect. It wakes up that ethnic identity that lies central to all of our identity is ethnicity. And it wakes that up. Sarah White of the Pink Ladies Anti-Mass Migration Campaign Group said, "Crowborough says no. The community of Crowborough, just like all of the communities across the country, don't want undocumented men in their communities." I mean, that's quite explicit there. It's quite obvious that the people of Britain don't want these quote-unquote undocumented men in their communities, but the government just does nothing about it. Doesn't matter how many times young girls get raped or sexually assaulted, the government is still allowing illegal immigrants to come into the country and putting them up in hotels when it should be deporting them. According to the Daily Mail, protesters were heard chanting "Keir Starmer traitor" and seen carrying signs reading "Crowborough says no" and "Protect Britain from tyranny, listen to the people." Now, when they call Keir Starmer a traitor, that might be so. But it's not as if this has only started happening under the Labour Party. Every Prime Minister over the last 30 years has been a supporter of diversity and mass migration. You can't really single out the Labour Party as being the worst. The Conservative Party are just as bad. Even in the times of Maggie Thatcher, she campaigned on anti-immigration. And that was because the National Front were doing well and they were campaigning on anti-immigration. So the Conservative Party and Margaret Thatcher, she campaigned on anti-immigration. And as soon as she got in, she did nothing whatsoever about immigration. And they had more and more immigration. And that continued through John Major. Then we went to the Labour Party with Tony Blair. And under Tony Blair, they famously went out scouring the world to look for people that they could bring into the country so they could rub the right's nose in it, as they say. After that, we had David Cameron said he was going to get immigration down to 10,000. And he said, oh, he misspoke, and he meant tens of thousands. Boris Johnson repeated it, tens of thousands. Under Boris Johnson, we had 1.6 million gross figure of immigrants that came in that year under Boris Johnson, who campaigned against migration. So it really doesn't matter which political party you get in power. They don't do anything at all to stop immigration. So to think that they're going to stop all this because there's been a few rapes, a few sexual assaults, a few grooming gangs, even that isn't enough to stop them. I mean, what could be worse than a young girl being raped or a young girl being raped and murdered, as regularly happens? And it does nothing to get them to turn that migration spigot off. So I would say Britain is under a tyranny, the two-party tyranny. Will reform be any better, though? I should imagine they will be a little bit better, but I'm really not holding my breath for Nigel Farage to stop all the immigration. Hopefully he will stop the illegal immigration, and hopefully he will limit the main immigration, which will make life better for us. But he's certainly not like a golden bullet or a silver bullet to fix everything. Earlier this week, the Home Office confirmed that 27 asylum seekers have moved into the East Sussex camp. Three people were arrested, apparently amidst opposing the move, including a 36-year-old man, a 62-year-old woman, and a 54-year-old man from New Haven. So the government moves in 27 people that broke into the country, 27 illegal immigrants into the town, and then they arrested three of the people from the town for complaining about it. I mean, what message does that send to the asylum seekers? It just tells them that it doesn't matter what they do, the government will just lock up its own people if they complain about this. As of September, the government was housing around 36,273 supposed asylum seekers in hotels. This figure is likely to continue to rise given the more than 41,000 illegal migrants who reached British shores last year. The government has vowed to shut down the migrant hotel scheme by 2029. So you've got another 3 years of this hotel scheme. And what are they going to do once the hotel scheme is shut down? Well, just put them straight into these new houses that they've built, possibly. Home Secretary Shabana Mahmood has said that while she understands there is a strength of feeling in opposition to the Kroboro camp, she said that it is crucial to the transition away from migrant hotels and therefore vowed to vigorously defend the project against any legal challenges from locals. So it's more important to her, it's absolutely crucial that they get to scatter illegal immigrants all around the country. That's more important than any legal challenges from locals. So what she's really saying there is she doesn't care if she has to break the law. She's still going to scatter migrants throughout the country. And if these migrants go out raping and sexually assaulting the youngsters there, she is vigorously going to defend the project against legal challenges from the locals saying, we don't want our children to be raped, which is effectively what these placards are saying. They're saying, we don't want our children to be raped. And Shabana Mahmood's response to that is to say that she will vigorously defend the project against any legal challenges from locals. I mean, she doesn't even address this concern about rape and sexual assault that goes on. Let's have a look at the statistics here. This comes from Sky News. Rise in number of asylum seekers being housed in hotels as official net migration stats are released. Responding to the rise in the number of asylum seekers being housed in hotels, a Home Office spokesman said, there are now fewer than 200 in use and we will close every single one. Imagine that, 200 3- and 4-star hotels being used to put the illegal immigrants in. And they think that that is somehow going to be a deterrence against people breaking into the country. Work is well underway to move illegal migrants into military bases to ease pressure on communities across the country. How does that ease pressure on communities? How is that easing the pressure in Kroboro to just scatter illegal migrants into a military base? It just means that instead of the pressure being on the community that lives around the hotel, the pressure is on the community that lives near the military base. And they've even got GPs in these military bases. So the migrants have got a 24-hour GP on call. And I should imagine that the GP goes to visit them in their little dormitory or whatever it is that they are living in. Whereas the British citizens have to wait up to 2 weeks, maybe longer than 2 weeks, to wait for an appointment. And they have to go and visit them. They don't get a home visit from the GP. It's like the red carpet is really being rolled out for these people, despite the fact that they're so much more likely to be involved in crime. Last month, the government announced that two barracks in Scotland and southern England would be used to temporarily house around 900 men. So just temporarily. And as I say, that's because after that, they're going to put them in houses, which is worse than putting them in hotels. At least when they're putting them in hotels, they are not distorting the housing market. At least they're not taking up all the rental properties that the British citizens want to rent. But now they're going to take them out of these hotels. That's where they're going to put them. They'll put them in these barracks for a few months, as it says there, 3 months. And then they're going to put them into housing. And it will be a rapid turnover as well. So every 3 months, you're going to get another 500 men turning up at the base. I mean, even if there's only a rapist every 1 in 1,000, you're still going to get a rape happening there every 6 months, aren't you? If you've got 500 men turning up every 3 months. And of course, the figures are much higher than 1 in 1,000, I think, when you look at it. Afghans and Eritreans, 20 times more likely to sexually assault than white people. It'd be interesting to see how long it goes before there is a rape in Kroboro. If they have 500 illegal immigrants turning up there every 3 months. Next headline here is further deportations to France, because, of course, don't forget, last summer, Keir Starmer was very, very proud of the deal that he did with President Macron, that they would be able to deport these illegal immigrants from Britain to France. But then, of course, what France would then do was hand back a legal migrants. So in actual fact, Britain didn't cut down on migration at all. It just meant that for every one migrant they sent to France, France would send another migrant back to Britain. So all the cost of the admin and all this big fanfare about how Labour had this one in, one out policy and this was going to be a deterrent, it's nonsense. It's not a deterrent. It hasn't lowered the numbers in any way. And that's before you even look at the paltry number that they have actually returned. Separately, the Home Office revealed the total number of people removed to France under the government's one in, one out deal has risen to 153. I mean, that's not even a drop in the ocean, is it? That's not even a water molecule in the ocean. 153. And that includes one person who has been deported again after arriving by small boat for a second time. Although there have been other examples of that happening since the treaty began. So they deport these people to France, and France sends another one back. And then these people that have been deported, they return to Britain anyway. Under the arrangement, 134 people have been brought into the UK. But it was 153 that were deported. So what does that tell us? Well, it tells us that there are about 20 people that came back into the UK after being deported. What about the ones that don't get caught that make their way in? I mean, it's just absolutely laughable, this one in, one out idea that Keir Starmer was so proud of. Some communities have protested against migrants being housed in their area, and there has been criticism of the cost to the taxpayer, with hotel accommodation estimated at $3 billion a year in 2023 to 24, according to the Home Office. And do they really think they're going to reduce that by paying rents to private landlords? It's still going to cost the same amount of money. And it's going to be even more attractive to these illegal immigrants to come to Britain if they think that they will be given a house. I mean, they were thinking that they were going to be put up in a hotel before. Now they're being told that they can have a house. And once they get given citizenship, they can bring all their relatives over as well. It's ludicrous what's going on. It's absolutely scandalous that you think it's actually Britain's representatives, our elected representatives, that are facilitating this. I mean, they must think the British population are all idiots to fall for this one-in, one-out scheme. And as I said earlier, it doesn't seem like a day goes by when we don't hear about another sexual assault that's linked to illegal immigrants. This article comes from GB News. I'll just get the title here. Failed asylum seeker jailed for 7 years after raping woman. I mean, that's not a long time, is it? 7 years. A man who was appealing his rejected asylum claim has been sentenced to 7 years in prison after being found guilty of raping a young woman in her own home. And he didn't actually break into the country. He came in under a visa, and then he overstayed his visa. Chris Callender, 28, from Trinidad, was staying at an asylum hotel when he raped the woman after a night out in Bournemouth in June last year. So he was staying here on a visa anyway. He came in under a visa. I think he might have been a student. And then when his visa runs out, he gets put up in a hotel, an asylum hotel. So they don't even have to break into the country to get put up in an asylum hotel. They just have to turn up and be not white and say they've forgotten what their name is, and can they put them up in a hotel? During the sentencing hearing, the young woman broke down in tears as she bravely read her victim impact statement. And it's quite horrific what actually happened to this woman, so I'm not going to read all of it. The woman, who cannot be identified for legal reasons, said, "What he did that night has destroyed my sense of safety and completely changed how I live my life. The attack has left deep emotional wounds that I carry every single day." Well, the British government think that it's worth all that. It's worth all these rape victims having their lives ruined just so that we can make the lives of these poor asylum seekers better. And it's the same logic with the grooming gangs. You would think that if even one woman was needlessly raped like this by a foreigner that had been facilitated to come into the country by the government's immigration policy, you would think that they would change that immigration policy. Let alone hundreds of thousands of white girls that have been groomed and raped by grooming gangs. And now, I don't know how many numbers we have that have been raped by these illegal immigrants that are living in these hotels, and the government's done nothing about it. It said, well, we'll give them houses to stay in instead. Oh, we'll send one back to France and we'll accept another one in return. They don't treat these issues as being serious at all. They don't think it's a serious issue that this young lady has had her life ruined, been raped by one of these people that the government insists we must have in the country. She continued, my life has changed completely. I now suffer from panic attacks, anxiety and fear. I no longer feel safe in the place I call home. This wasn't just one night. This is life-changing pain and trauma that I carry every single day. What he did has changed me forever. And you would think if the government knew how they could prevent that from happening to another person, they would do it, wouldn't you? But they don't. I mean, the fact of the matter is, if it wasn't for the government's immigration policy, this woman would not be raped. She would still be living a happy life. But it's because of the government's immigration policy that this has happened. Upon sentencing, Judge Fuller, KC, said, you behaved in an animalistic way, ignoring her cries and pain. You showed not a shred of remorse and have warped ideas about consent. And that's interesting because he says it warped ideas about consent. Well, they are warped by British standards. But if you look at the ideas of consent in places like Africa and in some Muslim countries, if a woman is not accompanied by a husband or a brother and the woman is not covered up, then that is effectively saying that the woman has consented to being raped, because if she didn't want to be raped, she would have a bloke there with her. If she didn't want to be raped, she would be covered up. And that's the sort of logic that they have in some of these countries. So his idea was that this woman let him do this. And this is the sort of things that they will say in the court. They will say, well, what man wouldn't? Well, obviously a British man wouldn't, because a British man has control over his emotions. But some of these people from some of these countries, they're not taught to have self-control at all over their passions. And they would see it as, well, it's the woman's fault. She incited the man's passions and he took those passions out on her. And that's the way that they would look at this, or that's the way that some of these people look at this. And you can tell that just from the answers that they give that are recorded in court that we read about in the newspapers. Judge Richard Fuller, KC, said, the recordings played to the jury were shocking. Despite her calls and repeated pleas, you forced yourself on her as she was face down on her bed and you kept her down with your body weight. Throughout, you called her names and told her to shut up, and said she needed to respect you in the bedroom, which showed your warped sense of entitlement. You behaved in an animalistic and base way. And they do have a sense of entitlement. Who wouldn't have a sense of entitlement if you've seen that all the men that go to this country get put up in a hotel, all the foreign men, they get put up in a hotel. If they get caught raping the inhabitants, they just get a few years in prison. In actual fact, they don't even have to do any prison time. They get paid £500 and they get a free flight home. And if any of the inhabitants of the country that you're going to, if they have the audacity to complain about being raped, they're the ones that will get put into prison. Of course, that's going to give somebody a sense of entitlement. That's going to give these people a sense of entitlement when they come to the country. They're going to think they're entitled to rape and sexually assault these white girls, because the government clearly doesn't really care about them, does it? So why shouldn't they? The sentence, because of your immigration status, may result in deportation to serve any remaining term in your home country, but that is a matter for the Home Office, not for this court. So because of his immigration status, he can just go back to the country that he came from instead of serving a prison sentence. Callender was sentenced to 7 years in prison, but is eligible for release on licence after serving just two-thirds of his sentence. So he's free to go after 4 years. He's got to do 4 years in prison. That's all his punishment is for ruining that young lady's life. Callender has now said that he wants to return to Trinidad after a jury found him guilty of rape and sexual assault last month. His lawyer says the 28-year-old is keen to engage in the government's early removal scheme, which allows foreign prisoners to be deported before the end of their sentence. And he'll probably be given a reward for that as well. As I say, the Ethiopian that was deported before he'd even carried out any of his sentence was given £500 to do that. And I know that they were offering these other illegal immigrants £3,000 to go to Rwanda when the government had this Rwanda scheme going. So how is this really going to be seen as a punishment or a deterrent to these people from carrying these things out? They think that if I rape a girl, I might not even get a prison sentence. I'll get a free flight home. I'll get given £500 to £3,000. And if any of the natives complain about me raping one of their women, they're the ones that will get put in prison. And that's the way they're going to look at this. And people might think that I'm exaggerating. There are people that are still in prison for complaining about that Ethiopian that sexually assaulted the girl at Epping Forest. And the Ethiopian was paid £500 to go back to Ethiopia. And the people that complained about it, they're still in prison. So it's not an exaggeration. As I say, if you want to protest about all of this, you want to protest about this, you want the illegal immigrants to all be deported, that is the platform that Patriotic Alternative are standing on at Warwick on Saturday. So if you want to attend, you want to lend your weight in numbers to this protest about illegal immigrants being housed in these hotels, then join Patriotic Alternative at Warwick on Saturday. Well, thank you very much for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.